precious grace, where'er it is bestowed, it both serves celestial birth and is the gift of God. 225.
Of the word of God is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 33. From the book of Psalms, Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skilfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth a counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth for ever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. May he bless his word to us and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, help us to draw near, to venture upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to come as we are. Lord, thou knowest how we are. We have the privilege of the means of grace, but it doesn't make us better, Lord. We come to thee as a sinner, and we come seeking forgiveness and pardon. Thou hast provided the way of pardon. It is found in that finished work of thy Son Jesus. Oh, may we be washed from all our transgression and cleansed from all our sin. But we also pray for thy presence here, Lord Jesus. We pray also for the Holy Spirit to instruct and teach. Lord, may indeed that divine blessing of spiritual understanding be granted, wisdom from above. Lord, we stand in need of it, and Lord, we are dependent upon thee for it. But we also, Lord, as we seek for that blessing that thou wilt grant to those seasonable times, Lord, but indeed those who gather in this congregation, the work of thy Spirit. Oh, touch hearts. Lord, may thy work be seen. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. We thank thee, Lord, for one more opportunity to meet in the means of grace. but Lord, if thou wilt come and make it unto us each the means of grace, then praise and honour and glory shall ascend to thee. We do pray that we may not trust in anything less than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Help us not to rest upon attendance, though we thank thee that we have the desire to attend. But Lord, it is thy precious self that we need this night. Jesus in the midst. Lord, make him precious. Holy Spirit, reveal the things of Jesus Christ. Make him precious to us. Precious in the want of him. Lord, precious in the desire for him. Precious, Lord, in the revelation of him. We pray for that resurrection blessing. It was said, Lord, by thy disciples, we have seen the Lord. Lord, that there may be those here that shall testify of such a truth. Not through the word of God, the print of thy word, Lord, not only that way, but a personal revelation of Jesus Christ. We pray too that we may hear his voice, that we may know his presence and hear his voice. Thy servant could say, and he said unto me, O Lord Jesus, speak to thy people. Be not silent. Lest if thou be silent unto us, we become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, that we might have this blessing. Lord, one said in the scriptures of truth, we would see Jesus. Lord, grant a revelation of him. Those disciples saw him, saw the marks of his sufferings. Lord, we pray to see him and to know him. To hear from him, to have his presence here. Lord, the promise is that he will be where thy people gather. Lord, may it be asked for. May it be anticipated. May it be experienced. Lord, that not, there might be a losing sight of everyone else. Lord, we read of that time when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, there came a time when they saw no man, but Jesus only. Oh, that thou would grant this blessing here. Do remember thy people here, thy sanctuary. Remember those who hold office here and grant them much grace. Remember the little church, Lord. Remember thy people here. Oh, are there those, Lord, that attend this place, that long to be found in communion with the members of this church? We do pray, Lord, that what the barrier is, thou wilt remove. And Lord, how often the barrier is unbelief. Lord, may there be no dictating to thee. But rather, Lord, that comfortable persuasion of the love of Christ that would constrain them to walk in thy ways. Do remember, Lord, especially the young people. It is a sad day that their lot is indeed to be found. Oh, grant them, Lord, but grant us all. Lord, young people, older people, parents, oh, grant us all, Lord, those best of blessings to know him. Oh, reveal Jesus Christ as the Saviour. Lord, make us needy, keep us poor, but help us to pray unto thee and to seek thy special presence and help. Oh, hear our cry. Lord, undertake for us, we pray thee. Shut out the buyers and the sellers and anything that, Lord, indeed interrupts our meditation and our thought. We seek to remember those who preach here and pray for them that they may, their labours here may not be in vain, nor their strength spent for naught. But we do also pray, Lord, that they may be given a word to come. Lord, that thou would bring thy people into the condition that the word of God shall be made a blessing to them. We pray for the Holy Spirit's work and conviction of sin. May the precious person and sacrifice, blood and righteousness of Jesus be applied. Lord, oh, that we might have this blessing even tonight, that we may be of one mind and of one heart. Lord, that thy word shall abide, that it shall come where thy people are. We cannot apply it. It isn't for us to try, Lord. We know not the hearts of any. But we do pray the Holy Spirit will be amongst us. Lord, we often pray for grace in the pew as much as we pray for grace in a pulpit. Lord, that thou would then mercifully bind us together in those things which are for our eternal profit. Lord, may there be found here those who are described by the Lord Jesus as that hunger and thirst, who shall only be satisfied, Lord, with the knowledge, the revealed knowledge or the applied knowledge of Christ himself. And yet, Lord, we have to pray also too, should there be such a soul that is still destitute of life, Lord, coming here doesn't bring life, doesn't mean, Lord, that it is found here. But we do pray, Lord, if there are so those that are found here that are without life, without hope, because they are without Christ. Lord, turn their captivity. Oh, may there be a putting forth of right desires after him. Lord, convince of sin and lead to Jesus' blood. Lord, gather into the church those that whom thou hast eternally loved, that shall humbly and reverently and simply be able to say the things which thou hast done in their soul and for their soul. Lord, we pray that then this place may again resound to thy praise. Lord, work a work of grace. Lord, bring thy children out of the captivity of Egypt and put them in the way everlasting, the way to Canaan. Dear Lord, we pray therefore that thou would remember us all, young or old. We found we have the privilege of the house of God. We have the privilege of the word of God. Hear us as we pray for all thy servants, wherever they're found and wherever they are and however they are. There are those that are in affliction, and Lord, their afflictions are serious. Prepare them for the end of their journey. Lord, we pray too that thou would prepare us for the Lord's day. It isn't so far away now, Lord. Oh, to be prepared for that moment. Lord, time things may we leave behind. Eternal things, may they indeed be our concern. But wilt thou rise up. Wilt thou rise up, Lord, more to preach the word, more to declare the truth as it is in Jesus. But such, Lord, that know the truth by experience, able to preach what they've tasted and handled and felt. Lord, this we seek for, so that the churches may be indeed instructed in the way and poor sinners encouraged. Hear us too, Lord, as we pray to be kept in this evil age. Lord, vile times we are walking through, troublous times in the land. Oh, Lord, thou hast a people, keep them. And especially, Lord, may we pray this for the young people, but for us all, really, that we may not imitate the world. Oh, keep us in heart and affection from the spirit of the world. Preserve to us the liberties we have, privileges that we have, Lord. Preserve them to us. Lord, we have an open Bible. We have a sanctuary, Lord. We pray they may be kept and preserved and watched over. Work mightily in them, Lord, and through thy word. Get to thyself eternal praise. Are there not those, Lord, that are still in the womb of the covenant? Oh, may the day dawn, Lord, that they shall be brought into life. Lord, may they understand what Jesus said, I am come, that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. But then, Lord, we would remember those that have been in the way, Lord, and perhaps their way is tried. Lord, perhaps they suffer much with unbelief and doubts. Help us to be thankful, Lord, that thou hast said, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Lord, grant to thy dear people visits from Jesus. Lord, we do pray for this. Remember any in tribulation's way, in affliction's way, or troubles and trials of various sorts, Lord. Remember them and comfort their hearts. Help them to lean upon thee. Lord, we often hear quoted, underneath are the everlasting arms, but Lord, that's underneath, and that cannot be moved. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, as thy people know the darksome paths, the deep places, help them, Lord, not only to look to him, but to lean on him and to rest everything. Remember any, Lord, that have those promises or scriptures upon which they indeed hope in. Lord, perhaps it's a tried path at the moment. But Lord, we read in the psalm, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word quickeneth me. Lord, we recall the exercise of Patriarch Jacob, Lord, blessed with that promise, I am with thee. But Lord, it was a promise that would be his comfort in later days. It was a word which he could bring to thee. Lord, may there be those here, we trust there is, Lord, that can look back on certain promises. Lord, it's to be renewed and to be revived and indeed to be applied again. But then, Lord, may we also use the words of Scripture to remember those who feel to need the comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Lord, David wrote, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord, we're sure there are those here that have had the comfort of thy salvation, known it in their own soul. But then again, Lord, sin, unbelief, Satan, flesh, robs them of the enjoyment of it. Lord, speak again those sacred truths. Speak again, Lord, and draw thy children to thee. Hear us, Lord, as we would remember any that sorrow, some sorrow because of bereavement. Lord, sin brings sorrow. Lord, where can the joy be found? Could only be found in thyself. Lord, we pray therefore that thy dear people may have sweet tokens of thy special love. Lord, are there those here that pray with the psalmist, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may be ashamed? Dear Lord, remember ever any condition, what condition thy people are in this night, thou knowest. So we pray, Lord, that there may be a season of refreshing. Lord, as we go through this service, may we rest upon an unchangeable help, a friend at all times, a brother that's born for adversity. What we fail to ask for, O Lord, we pray thou wilt make up in giving. Lord, at this time come and undertake. Lord, what are we but sinners, but needy? We're thankful that we are needy. Oh, save us from self. But we do beseech of thee, Lord, that there may be a pouring out of thy Spirit in the hearts of the hearers, in our own heart. So forgive all that we've asked amiss, and we ask all in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 726, Christ whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night, day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. 726.
dependent entirely on the help of God. I would ask your attention to the reading, Psalm 33, verse 9. The Psalm 23 and verse 9. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. No doubt the psalmist would refer to what was recorded in the previous verses, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. And surely the creation of this earth could be summed up in these words. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. He spoke these things into being, and they still stand, and they will stand so long as the Lord permits. But it is not to consider the old creation, but the new creation. It would be true, dear friends, that the creation that we see so around us, indeed in different places of course, and to different people, they're very attractive, but it's stained with sin. But then we must address this word as far as the Lord will help us to the new creation. Now, dear friends, the old creation, as we said, will come to an end one day. The word of God assures us that. But this new creation, this perfect creation, are you and I the subject of it? It's found within, put there by the Holy Spirit, quickened into divine life. We are the subject, if that is the case, of this new creation. He spake, it was done. I do believe, dear friends, that would be perfectly true about a work of grace. I don't believe there's any gradual movement, but I do believe that if he has the mercy towards you and I, he'll speak, and it will be done. People talk about repentance, and they speak about change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. It's done in a moment, dear friends. Done in a moment. Saul of Tarsus was Satan's servant until that spot of ground on the Damascus Road. The Lord spake. Have you some spot? Have you some place where you trust the Lord began to deal with you, to deal with me? Can you go back to such times? It may be. I don't find it necessary to point to moments on the clock. If that is the case, well, that is the case. Dear friends, when God begins to work a work of grace in a sinner, he puts new desires in that new nature, or it comes from that new nature. One of the things that he will certainly bring to pass to make them aware of their ruined and sinful condition. What a blessing, dear friends. What an encouragement, what a comfort to the living family of God, that it is God's work, he spake. And I'm sure, dear friends, that's a great comfort, that you and I can trace the Lord's voice in it. We, I suppose most of us were brought up under the sound of the truth. What did we think of the truth in those sad days of unregeneracy? Well, dear friends, the Apostle reminds us, as we've often referred to in that chapter in Ephesians, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, though are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Dear friends, was that how it was? Blessed be God if you could say that as it was, but it's not now. Blessed soul that can have indeed the certain evidence of a spiritual birthday, the time when he spake, as he spake the world into being. Dear friends, so he has and will, with all his blood-washed children, give them that spiritual life. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you know, in the old creation, it was marred. You don't have to read far into the book of Genesis, just to chapter 3, and we find out that this creation was marred. It was marred by sin. One of the things about the new creation, dear friends, is the evidence of that truth, marred by sin. Perhaps, dear friends, there are those, and I hope not, but there are those who rest upon their religious upbringing, upon their attendance to the means of grace, their knowledge of the scriptures, and so on. Blessed be the day, dear friends, when they are brought all trusting in an arm of flesh, or trusting in works of righteousness that they have done. He spake, and it was done. What an evidence, dear friends, have you and I got that it is done. It has been accomplished. I'll tell you something which is even more comfort. Unlike the old creation which will be destroyed, this new creation will never be destroyed. And unlike the old creation, which was marred by sin, this new creation will never be marred by sin. It's a perfect creation. He spake, and it was done. True it is, there is a period known to God, when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. May that verse, may this verse, encourage you that wait. Glory to God, they ne'er shall roam beyond the limits of his love, fenced by Jehovah's shells and wheels, firm as the everlasting hills. We've got some hopeless cases. Dear friends, I suppose it might be said, some of us have hopeless cases. But I'm sure of this, if the Lord would speak in one of the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ said of the rich, how hardly shall they that be rich enter into the kingdom? Or as he meant, of course, trusted in riches. And they said to him, who then can be saved? Well, the answer was, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Oh, that you and I may have the evidence of this new creation. And dear friends, what is the evidence of it? New desires. Oh, dear friends, the spiritual heart. One of the prophecies, I think it's Ezekiel, has the promise that he has left on record that he will give a new heart and a new spirit. And dear friends, what will that new heart and new spirit desire? Not the things of time. Is that an evidence of grace? Not the things of time. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. I looked at that hymn whilst we was waiting to commence the service. It begins like this: carry on thy new creation, pure and holy may we be. Let us see our whole salvation perfectly secured by thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. This new creation, he spake, and it was done. I'm sure there is here souls who, if they could say anything, would have to say that they have a desire for a revealed Jesus. Who put the desire there? Dear friends, don't overlook those things which we often do overlook. I remember a dear old, well, I've said this before to you probably, back in the early years of my life, dear old saint of God said to me, the Lord bless you. If you want him to, he already has. And I never forgot that. Simple, isn't it? Simple. The Lord bless thee. If you want him to, he already has. Dear friends, the evidence of a new creation is indeed new desires. But I would also say this, were you convinced of sin? Are you convinced of sin? Who revealed it to you? Why did he reveal it to you? I do believe this, dear friends, if a poor soul mourns and sighs over revealed sin, God has done it. And why has he done it? So that he could be a companion to those who evidences are in the scriptures. And behold, we read in Luke, a publican went to the temple to pray, and he could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. How many sinners do you meet today? Dear friends, I have to say this. How many sinners do you meet today in the Lord's house who come in with the publican's cry? But dear friends, if you and I have got the evidence of that new creation, it will be our cry. Wasn't there before? He spake and it was done. Wonderful work. And it will stand. What did the apostle say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ? But then, dear friends, what was the effect of this new creation? Darkness. Darkness. Distress. You had an understanding that was distressing. You have an understanding which calls you to mourn and sigh and groan. But same evidence of the new creation will give you a tender spirit. You know, dear friends, I tell you this, I wish I could hate sin. I wish I could hate sin. But it's in my nature. But dear friends, oh, that the Lord would indeed cause that we have a hatred to sin. I don't mean such awful sins as you hear in a general way in this land or in the world. The thought of foolishness is sin. How much foolishness do we have in our mind? How much foolishness comes out in our thoughts? I know this, that there is a word in the psalm somewhere. Set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Why? Because that's a way of sinning. Oh, but if you and I have this blessing, he spake and it was done. That we have the evidence of a new creation. Has it given you a longer desire for the things of Christ? Do you long for that day which is recorded in John? The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking of the work of the Holy Ghost. He shall take of mine, Jesus said, and show it unto you. What you and I know of Jesus Christ other than by revelation? The evidence of the grace of God, dear friends, will bring a longing desire for him, whom having not seen, ye love. The Apostle Peter wrote that. Of course, he has seen him face to face when he was here in human form. Has it given you a love to Christ? Are there those here that wouldn't say very much about their spiritual life, but you could say, or you would hear, if they were willing to speak, that there was a love to Jesus Christ? I used to have a pastor down in Kent who used to speak about love to Jesus Christ in the want of him. But if that's the case, dear friends, what's the love to Jesus Christ in the revelation of him? What a blessed revelation to those who have seen the Lord, that have drawn your affections after him, your spiritual affections, I would say. You ask, dear friends, for the pardon of your sin, and you come to know it, and you come to feel it solemnly. But, dear friends, if this work of grace is found in your soul, it will lead you to the Saviour. What brought the dying thief to speak to Jesus? Conviction of sin was one of the ways, but a knowledge of the holiness, sinlessness of Jesus Christ was another. Revealed to him, we indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He could see, dear friends, in Jesus Christ, sinlessness, holiness, righteousness, justice, mercy. Do you see in Jesus Christ mercy? Through Jesus Christ, mercy. There was no other good enough to pay the price. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He spake and it was done. But then may we also apply these words No, dear friends, may the Lord apply these words to such that are in hopelessness and helplessness, respecting the comfort of assurance and the comfort of salvation. Are there such here that would believe, but they suffer with unbelief? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Dear friends, that's what the children of God pray for. There are those here that would believe but can't believe, that have longing desires to know their standing is secure in this glorious person and through this glorious person. Other those, dear friends, that are in darkness because of it. Dear friends, may that be the cry, would the Lord speak? And dear friends, all the darkness would flee away. The hopelessness and helplessness of their own spiritual life would indeed evaporate. Confidence and faith resting upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You see, when the Lord speaks, it is as it says here, for he spake and it was done. The Lord speak and give you gracious faith to believe, so that the comforts of the gospel, the comforts that are found in and through him, may indeed you may lay hold of and rest upon. Oh, dear friends, I feel that's a sweet comfort to the tried people of God. Am I his? Am I not? But dear friends, to those souls, if he should speak, he'll put it all straight. You know, there's a case in John's Gospel. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast out seven devils. She was found at the empty tomb, and things were not clear. Grief and sorrow filled her heart. Tears, no doubt, went traced down her face. Where was Jesus? Hidden from view, she would say. And so she speaks to this man, who she took to be a stranger, and inquired whether he knew where Jesus was. Jesus said unto her, Mary. Dear friends, what a season of comfort. One moment heartbroken, next moment full of joy and peace in believing. He spake and it was done. What a blessing, dear friends, if you have some evidence, some experience of this change. We speak about the change of heart, renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill. But dear friends, what about those seasons and times when he changes the scene in a moment? Changes the scene. When he speaks into your soul and brings about a change, immediate change. Light and gladness flows. One of the chapters in the Revelation speaks about heaven, and he speaks about wiping away all tears from all four faces. And dear friends, the sorrows of the way often bring you and I into sorrow and tears. But should he speak, there will be tears of love. He spake and it was done. Then may we also remind those who are supported and comforted by sweet and precious promises. Perhaps, dear friends, you live in anticipation of a day which the Lord will indeed come and answer the or open up the promise or apply the blessing of the promises. Some of us, I suppose, have waited a long time, and it's a time of temptation. Why wait? It will never come, is the tempter's persuasion. But dear friends, the time of love will come when each shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me, tarry his leisure then, wait all the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveal his love with power. He spake and it was done. Wonderful, you know, when you are called to wait upon the Lord according to his own word. The Lord Jesus Christ, when here on earth, was speaking to the disciples about himself. Whom do men say that I am? And then he turned the question to them, whom say ye that I am? Peter, speaking for them, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Have you such blessings that you could indeed testify humbly? Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, because he's been revealed to you. Dear friends, his work, this is the blessing of the work of grace, you know. It is unalterable, unchangeable. It has eternal purposes in it. Eternal purposes of bringing a soul to glory. Dear friends, if you've got a work of grace going on in your soul, you won't be a stranger to Jesus Christ. And he won't be a stranger to you. He won't be able to say, I never knew you, like he speaks of some religious persons. He spake and it was done. Wonderful, dear friends, if you then and I are under this glorious work, this new creation. You are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There is the truth, isn't there? We stood here perhaps last year and spoke about one who said she wasn't what she used to be, but she wasn't what she wanted to be. Dear friends, would that be true of you and me? You speak for yourself. You're not what you used to be. Why are you not what you used to be? Why are the things of God more attractive now? Your nature, old nature, can't change. It's formed, dear friends, and you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But if God's given you another nature, this new creation, dear friends, the things of Christ, not only will be they desired, sought after, you'll pray for things you never prayed for before. I hope I can say this with reverence, but in unregenerate days, I used to have to pray for providential things. Things which I suppose most persons wouldn't think about praying for. Prayed for an occupation, or prayed for all sorts of things, all in providence. But then, dear friends, the day came when he revealed to me my sin, mine iniquity, and I had nothing to stand on, no resting place. I began to pray then as a sinner. If you take the experience of the Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, he wouldn't have been a stranger to prayer. Their reputation was that they made long prayers and public ones. They were seen to pray in the corners of the streets, in the marketplaces. But they never prayed like a sinner. Do you see, when he was called by grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and they led him into Damascus, and he was to be found in this person's house with this instruction, behold, he prayeth. Dear friends, have you got such a work as this wonderful work of grace, which is free, which is full, which is sovereign? Could this be said of you and me? Behold, he prayeth. But I want also to turn it another way, if I can. You go and look. Some words dropped into my mind during the day when I was thinking about these words. Words that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from Calvary's cross. It is finished. Dear friends, you've heard it said before, you've read it time and again. Words that fell from the lips of Jesus. It is finished. In John 17, he speaks in prayer to his Father. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. When he was nailed to the tree as a sacrifice for sin, when he was nailed to the tree for his people's salvation, and the work was finished. The offering was himself, an acceptable offering by his Father. So the work of salvation was secure. Every member of his mystical body was then, dear friends, eternally safe. What a blessing, dear friends, those words were ever said. It is finished. He spake, and it was done. And I say it because there are foolish people, dear friends, want to add to it. They want to add something of themselves. They don't trust, and are not brought to trust or to have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The man who wrote that beautiful hymn knew it. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Black eye to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. That's the way, dear friends, to come. When you've got nothing to bring but desires after him. He spake and it was done. What a blessed day that was, dear friends. What a solemn day when the Lord of life and glory died. But he died because the work was finished. It was accomplished. That is what, dear friends, it means when you hear the expression, resting upon the finished work of Jesus. There's nothing to add to it. Have you been brought to trust in that finished work? Have you been brought to look to that finished work? It's a very precious word in the end of the Old Testament. And it seems to be more precious to me these days. It's a word you'll know when I get to it and I read it. You'll know what those words mean. Chapter 13 of Zechariah. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Dear friends, that came about when Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for many. But there's another meaning, or there is to me. I think of those times and seasons when the children of God in their early days of soul experience waited and had to wait for the knowledge of atonement, had to wait for the knowledge of redemption, have to plead the blood that did for sin atone, but plead to know it. Perhaps there are those that in this house of God tonight have to plead for that blood to be revealed. Dear friends, may I just say this to you before we go on. Pray for it to be revealed, but pray for it to be applied. Dear friends, the blood that was put on the doorpost and lintel in the days of the Jews in Goshen would have been no avail whatsoever if it hadn't been applied. The blood should be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's nothing more precious, dear friends, than the blood of Jesus. But there's nothing more precious of the application. Let me also just remind you of these words. I do believe this, dear friends, that the Lord has prepared a day in the experience of the children of God when they're set at liberty. You see, the Jews went into their houses and shut the door and never came out till the dawn of the day. They were safe because they were under the blood. From immediately they went on their wilderness journey. You exercised believing sinners. Do you look for a day? Do you hope in a day? But dear friends, there is a day. Oh yes, I know there was a day when Jesus Christ was crucified and died. But is there not a day to be prayed for, a day of revelation in that day? Have you got such a day in your spiritual desires? Oh, bring me to that day, Lord, when I shall be able to lay claim by precious faith and all humility that I shall know now what this fountain means. It shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and all and for uncleanness. Perhaps you said you're too black for that fountain. Perhaps you said that you are too far off a sinner for the knowledge of that fountain. But dear friends, if you are the subjects of this new creation, if God has begun a work of grace in your soul, dear friends, the day will come, and it will be, the day will dawn, when that precious blood will be known by its application, not by its reading about it, not by its the knowledge that it was so. Dear friends, it's only when it's applied, it's then it does you good. And there is a day, I believe, in God's calendar, and the experience of the children of God will prove it, dear friends, which will bring joy and gladness and comfort. And it will be that day when it's revealed to you that you have an interest. The children of God pray for an interest in Jesus Christ. And they pray to know that he not only suffered and died, but for them. What a day of revelation that would be then. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And we must say this too. If you and I have a real religion, a Holy Ghost begun one, such a knowledge that the Holy Ghost has instructed and taught us, dear friends, you'll know this. I would ask a question. Does your spiritual life, is it tried? What tries it? I do believe, dear friends, we have a witness. The children of God have a witness of a work of grace. By sure as certain signs of the witness of the work of grace. But at the same time, dear friends, they would say, ah, but it's tried. Peter wrote, didn't he, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. At the appearance, dear friends, when that day dawns, then you'll know all things are well. You'll still have this trial. What God has begun, dear friends, will stand the trial. When the three Hebrew children were put into the fire by that wicked king in the days of Daniel, they couldn't be burned. Supernatural, wasn't it? Could be burned. But that was one thing. The second thing was more important. There was Christ with them. We put three men into the fire, this king said, but I see four men walking. The form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. One of the trials, one of the suggestions of the tempter, dear friends, is that the work of grace can be altered. But it can't be altered. God's work can never be altered. God's work will never be changed. If he's called you by his grace and made you to know sin, and made you to seek after salvation, it's a work that shall never alter. Dear friends, you're on the way to glory if you have that work in your own soul. And you'll get to glory. Thou shalt see my glory soon when the work of grace is done. Partner of my throne shall be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Might I also remind those who hope in the mercy of God of the blessings and the favours that brought them into that place of hope, into that place of spiritual assurance. Might I try, as the help of God must be given, to remind those who have been assured how safe they stand. Some people, dear friends, would have you to believe that once this work is done, that nothing will ever can possibly come against it. Well, nothing will succeed against it. There will be everything from hell and from earth that will come against it, but nothing will succeed. Because it says here, he commanded and it stood fast. God watches over his work. That's a secure work. Some people will have you to believe that Jesus Christ doesn't know who he died for. But you see, that's erroneous. The word of God tells us, and it's his own lips, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Because he commanded and it stood fast. Dear friends, that's something that can't change. This vain old creation, this sinful condition that we are found in, will change. Death will come upon it. Whether it's the world or whether it's you and I in our old nature, death will come upon it. But his work will stand death, just as the work of salvation will stand death. Dear friends, when he puts something in your soul which is spiritual life and all its desires, because it will be a seeking spirit, it will be a longing spirit. You won't be satisfied, dear friends, with, any other experience. You know, in the days of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself to 10 of his disciples. One of them wasn't there. Oh, they could say with joy, no doubt, we've seen the Lord. What was the answer? Doubting Thomas. I suppose he's got that label. But dear friends, can you not walk with him except I see in his hands the print of the nails and thrust my finger into the print of the nails and my hand into his side and will not believe? Dear friends, when it comes to the matters of one soul's salvation, be assured of this, that a soul that is quickened into divine life will only be settled or comforted or assured by God's own lips until I am told by God's own lips that he has chosen me. There's a line of a hymn that we often quote. Lord, in thy house I read this room, venturing hard, behold I come. But tell me, can there be amongst thy children room for me? The Lord bless his own word, make it a blessing. May you prove the truth of these things that we try to bring before you. May you prove it, to be able to say that he has spoke and it has stood fast. May he forgive all that's amiss. Amen.
Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Philip Hare next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 628. My soul shall with wonder proclaim the love of my Father and God, whose promises ever remain, and each in its course is made good. Their great and exceeding great tomb, more precious than rubies by far. Like streams from the fountain they flow, and Zion preserved from despair. 628.
in this place thy own word. Pardon and forgive what has been amiss. O Lord, take care of us each now as we leave thy courts. Grant us divine protection to our homes. The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest and abide with each of us, both now and forever. Amen.